Before we do get to today's podcast session, just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Headway for being awesome supporters of the STC podcast. Headway is tackling the challenge of demand and the barrier to mental health care here in this country. And they're tackling it by providing free software that connects patients, therapists, and insurance companies. And they're doing some pretty amazing stuff. I was talking with the team over at Headway the other week, and I was like, you know what? I feel like one of the biggest challenges for a lot of clinicians, whether you're in a solo practice or a group practice, is this process of submitting paperwork, right? It takes a crazy amount of time. It's, unless you account for it with your client sessions, it's often like time that is not really like in service. So you're almost like working, you're not obviously getting reimbursed for that time unless you account for it, right? But Headway, one of the things that they shared with me is that literally their software works where within 10 minutes, you can submit the paperwork for a caseload of 20 patients. So this can free up so much time for you in order to just focus on your own mental health, seeing clients, focusing on your loved ones, and all of those different things. And the way they, again, do this is through using software. So literally, you just tell, you provide the insurance code, you provide the time that you saw the person, then, you know, and it's all connected through the through their app. And the Headway team takes care of the rest of it, the actual administrative stuff, making sure that it's properly submitted to insurance companies, making sure you're getting reimbursed and all of those different things. You can learn more about Headway over at sellingthecouch.com/Headway. Hello, hello. Welcome to session 280 of Selling the Couch. I hope you are doing awesome. I am actually recording this pretty close to actually when it's going to be released. We took a bit of a staycation this past week. This was the first like proper vacation we've really had in the past year during this pandemic. We decided to do a staycation just because our little one's not quite vaccinated and we just didn't want to risk things by traveling, but we got to explore different parts of the city of Philadelphia, as well as the different suburbs around Philly, and just got to do a lot of neat stuff, from eating ice cream to doing lots of hikes to finding this really cool, so it's like this mansion that was donated to the Pennsylvania Horticultural Society, and they maintain it. And it looks like, if you've ever watched like The Secret Garden or read The Secret Garden book, there are parts of this, that house, the outside of it, it looks like that. It was pretty amazing, but just really nice just to be able to rejuvenate and feel refreshed as we get through and, you know, continue to go through and get through this pandemic. So today is a solo episode. And one of my real hopes with this podcast, especially when I do solo episodes, is to share a lot of behind the scenes stuff. I don't have to tell you this, but the entrepreneurial journey is an emotional roller coaster. And we live in this really interesting time where highlights are often shared on social media. And we often see the finished product, whether it's a new service or a new video or a new online course or anything like that. But we rarely see the struggle of getting there. And it got me thinking, and that's what today's session is all about. I'm going to be sharing some of the things that I am doing to confront fear as I build a new product. And I haven't shared much of this, I guess, online, but I'm starting to a little bit more. So I'm launching my second online course next year. The working name is Online Course School, and it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a course on courses, super meta, I know. And except the first few versions, at least, and potentially longer, of Online Course School is not going to actually be a digital version of a course. Instead, it's actually going to be live, somewhere around 6 weeks long. It's going to involve me teaching, us having like weekly assignments so that we can complete our actual courses, and then just gather together with other therapists and therapist turned coaches and consultants who are also creating online courses, because I think there's so much power in community and just joining with like-minded people. The main reason I decided to kind of go with a live version of a course is, one, this medium of live courses or cohort-based courses is starting to become quite popular. It's still in the very early stages, but one of the things that I realized is it's not the lack of information available online that stops us from creating an online course. It's anxiety, it's fear, it's doubt, or it's just like feeling alone, that you're alone on that online course creation journey. I know this is something that I've struggled with. And I'm a big believer that a rising tide lifts all boats. And I've been very fortunate to have over 275 of our colleagues go through my first course, which I launched in 2015, which is the Healthcasters podcasting course. And I don't often talk about revenue just because, like, it's not really part of my personality, but for this example, it seemed to make sense. But the Healthcasters course, it passed the 200,000 revenue mark recently, and its success was a large reason why I decided to take a break from doing STC and private practice to just solely focus on STC. And I'm also a big believer that doing something scary in community is an antidote to many of our fears. So this year, I'm spending a lot of time learning. I'm speaking to many of you guys about what you're struggling with in creating your online course, just hearing your stories about what a successful online course would mean for you. For me, this process brings so much excitement and joy because I genuinely want to create something that could help you launch that online course that you've been thinking of. And when possible, I just love getting to know you guys one-on-one. But truth be told, it brings a fair amount of anxiety and fears. Questions like, who am I to be teaching this stuff? Why would someone buy my course? And what if I miss something? I mean, I've accumulated a lot of knowledge, a lot of personal experience, but, you know, what if there's just something that I just forget to mention? And so in today's session, I'm going to share three things that I've been doing to combat the voices of doubt and fear. And my hope is that whether you're launching an online course or a new service for your practice, that it will give you some hope and encouragement to keep going. So the tip number one, or the point number one that I wanted to share is, I'm working on showing the imperfect side of building versus simply the finished product. This was a concept that I picked up from Austin Kleon's book, Show Your Work. This is a great book. I would say this is probably in my top five business books that I feel like has really impacted my own entrepreneurial journey. It's a great book to read if you have a creative entrepreneurial side, which I think all of us do, but you also struggle with things like doubt and perfectionism. And man, this idea of showing the imperfect side of building something, it does not at all come easily to me. The book has some really good quotes in there, and I wanted to share two of them. And after I share them, I'm just going to reflect on them a little bit. The first quote is, "Amateurs might lack formal training, but they're all lifelong learners, and they make a point of learning in the open so that others can learn from their failures and successes." The second quote is, "The best way to get started on the path to sharing your work is to think about what you want to learn and make a commitment to learning it in front of others." The book basically makes this argument that we're in this age where everything is rapidly changing, from new medications to treatments to technology, and that experts, and I put that in like air quotes, that experts are becoming amateurs overnight. A practical example of this is COVID-19, right? We thought we knew a lot about how coronaviruses work, but COVID-19 was really unique, and it's taken many experts, and it's really thrown a lot of experts into a loop, and many of them have started to embrace this sort of beginner's mind in terms of approach. And what it kind of reminded me of is that those of us who are confident to know that there are things that we know, but also humble enough to realize that there are so many things that we don't know will have a unique advantage. There's a phrase in those two quotes that really stood out to me, learning in the open. Learning in the open. Fortunately, with social media, we can do this pretty well. So one thing that I would encourage you to do if you are listening to this episode and you're in a season where you are creating a new product or a service, post a picture of it, of you working on that thing. And you can tag me on Twitter. You can find my account at sellingthecouch.com/Twitter. And I would love to just do my best to respond just with a word of encouragement for you. To share a personal side of this, I started doing this with the messy journey of creating an online course, in my case, online course school. And I recently had the chance to go through a live cohort with Pat Flynn and the Smart Passive Income team. I consider Pat a mentor. I've learned so much of just business stuff and I think human stuff and how to do things ethically and all of those things from Pat. And I joined this live cohort because I wanted to continue to learn and continue to account for any gaps in my own knowledge and then make my own course the best that I can make it. This is something that I did with the Healthcasters course, which is, you know, I invested several thousand dollars of my own income into getting trained by other folks, getting coaching, doing consult, purchasing courses, so that when I created the Healthcasters course, I was taking my own personal experience of growing the Selling the Couch podcast and then combining it with all of this other accumulated knowledge with hopefully to make it a really well-rounded course. And as I was going through this live cohort with Pat and the team, one of the things that I really struggled with was whether to share that I was learning from Pat and the team, because some part of me, there was this voice of fear inside of me that thought, well, why would someone buy my course when there are others out there, especially from entrepreneurs with way bigger followings? Or I had this other voice that said, well, if you post the messy side of online course building, then no one's going to really want to build or buy that course. Or actually, that was the interesting thing. So I actually had this thing, no one will want to buy the course. But then if you show the messy side of online course building, no one will actually want to build a course. Like it would actually distract them or detract them from doing it. Now, part of what I learned from the Smart Passive Income team was this exercise where you organize your course lessons and modules using post-it notes. I've done a version of this before with the Healthcasters course, but what I learned from the SPI team was way more organized than how I was originally doing it. So what I did as a way of just showing my work was to post a picture of myself in front of my closet door with a bunch of unorganized post-it notes that through feedback and iterations are eventually going to become the lessons and modules of the digital versions of online course school. So I'm going to have a live version and then eventually a digital version. Just wanted to clarify that. And in that post, I spoke about my fears about creating something new. And I also shared about a new piece of software that I had learned about called Miro, M-I-R-O, where you can essentially create a digital post-it wall, post-it note wall. And so you can, you know, swap out your post-it notes, you can color code, all of that kind of stuff. I was petrified to do this because it's so ingrained in me to show the finished product. I think it's ingrained in so many of us, that fear of judgment, especially from colleagues. But the comments and how it resonated for so many of you was so encouraging. It's really hard to even capture that on a podcast episode, but I just felt so grateful. What was really interesting was that the fear and the overwhelming anxiety that I was hiding in the dark in just with my fear of posting it, with my fear of sharing it, all of that stuff dissipated when I brought it into the light just by simply posting. So now I've committed to give an update 1 to 2 times a month in the STC community. If you haven't joined, it's over at sellingthecouch.com/community and in the weekly newsletter, which is also a great resource over at sellingthecouch.com/newsletter. And I imagine the fear and the anxiety will come every time I'm about to post. But I think there's something pretty powerful about showing the human side of just building something out in the open. So point number two is realizing that the first version of anything will not be the final version. Realizing that the first version of anything will not be the final version. This thought that I had to have it perfect and I had to have the final version out there was something that stopped me for a long time. I remember struggling with this like crazy for the Healthcasters podcasting course. In fact, when I first, even the months before I launched that course, I remember there was actually periods of insomnia I would have just because I was so stressed about trying to make this like really perfect. And that's what it was in my mind, that I had to get this like perfect version of the Healthcasters course out there, you know, that folks were trusting me to launch successful podcasts. And if I just missed something, you know, like I would disappoint them. In fact, that thought very nearly stopped me from actually building and putting the course out there. And the truth of this is when I first launched that course, this was back in 2015. So I launched that course, I think in November of 2015, somewhere around there. And I had launched the Selling the Couch podcast only in March of 2015. So it was only like 6 months. Selling the Couch was at that point was making, like on a good month, it was probably making a few hundred dollars. On a bad month, it was maybe making like $20, $30 or something like that. Just primarily off like affiliate kind of stuff. So practically, honestly, I just couldn't afford really nice gear. I recorded that course using the $60 mic that I was using for my podcast. And then all that I could afford was like a webcam. And so that's basically what I used to record the course. And so I couldn't really afford nicer gear. And then I knew that I had a lot of knowledge about podcasting, but I just didn't know what parts of that knowledge people would actually find helpful. I once heard a quote from Stu McLaren, who said, "You don't have to get it perfect. Just get it going. You don't have to get it perfect. Just get it going." This quote is something that I found myself holding on to back then, and I find myself clinging on to now as I create online course school. You know, with most products and services we put into the world, there's a gap between what we put out there and think that people need and what people actually want. And that gap can't be filled until we put a version one out there. So one thing I'm planning on doing is just being open about that, just saying, "Hey guys, these are initial beta versions or initial versions, and we're going to get this better and better with every iteration." And yeah, and just being open about that. And I think putting that out there, just saying that, I think will add a lot less pressure for me to get it perfect. And when that initial version of online course school comes out, either the live, I mean, I think both the live and the digital version, I'll be asking the initial members all along the way through like brief surveys how I can make it better. So part of this is like, I think for me at least, it's humbly accepting the fact that the initial version I put out there will not be the final version. And those changes that will happen to get to the final version are not an indictment on my knowledge or expertise. The reality is it's just a messy process of hopefully creating something that's absolutely going to be beautiful and meaningful. Now, side note, there are several ways I do this via surveys. I mean, get these sort of feedback from folks. So what I tend to do is I tend to do a combo of surveys as well as actually getting on actual like Zoom calls with folks. And because I think there's stuff that surveys can capture, and then there's surveys, and then there's stuff that like video recordings or video calls can capture. So with the surveys, you can do this for free. This is actually what I did for the Healthcasters course, and I just used Google Forms. And or you can have something paid like JotForm or what I use, SurveyMonkey. I use SurveyMonkey because one, I have a sentimental connection to SurveyMonkey because that's what I use for my dissertation. And the other reason I use it is practical because they actually have this pretty cool feature where it will take all of the results, all of the survey data, and it will graphically represent trends and answers. So for example, if there's like a word or a theme that's coming up, the word will be like much bigger on the graphic. Whereas if it's a word that's like people are not sharing as much, it'll be kind of smaller on the graphic. So it gives, I'm a very visual person. It just gives me a visual representation. Second side note, with regard to questions on these surveys, I love to ask three, and I like to keep them very open-ended. The first question I always ask is, what did you like about, and then insert product or service, right? So what did you like about Online Course School? And then the second question I ask is, what would you change about Online Course School? And then the third question is, what do you think is missing with Online Course School? And again, you would just insert your product or your service. And the reason that I do ask those three questions, they have like a little intention to them, right? So one is, what do you like? So that's kind of like what's working. And then what would you change? So it gives me an idea of like what's not working with Online Course School. And then the final one is, what do you think is missing, right? So this is helping to account for things maybe that I just haven't thought of as a creator, and just coming from my own perspective and how I'm thinking about it. So in summary, I'm a big believer in taking a beginner's mind to do online to any kind of product or service that you are building. The third tip I would encourage you, and the final one, is create an emotional and a brainstorming safety net. So building something new and putting it out there is really hard. I don't have to tell you that. Even with something like an online course, right? The truth is, you really have to see it in stages, right? There's sort of the planning and the validation stage. And then there's like the creating stage, right? Where you actually create your course and put it out there. Then there's sort of the growth stage, right? And this is a part, this stage is something that not a lot of folks talk about, because what do you do in the months and years after your online course is out there? How do you grow this thing, right? And so what I try to do is, so in short, this process requires a lot of fortitude, courage, and vulnerability. And for many of us, we feel this deep rejection. We feel rejection really deep, and often the fear of rejection stops many of us from actually putting beautiful products and services into the world. So what I've been doing is something that I call support layering. Basically, I have three levels of support. The first layer is family, and this is sort of like the inner circle. Then there's like a circle around it, which is friends. And then the third is professional connections. And for every product or service that I create, I try to keep a circle of like 3 to 7 people when I'm in building mode. So with the first layer, family, I mainly use this for like emotional support. So for example, Susan, my partner, is one person who's in this layer. Now we can have great conversations about, you know, my fear of, you know, messing up and my fear of being judged for putting Online Course School out there. But Susan's not an expert when it comes to like evergreen webinars and how to use that as a funnel for your online course, for example. Right. Now, with the second or third layer, friends and professionals, I use it both for emotional as well as practical support. One thing I try to do with the professional connection level is to especially connect with folks who are doing or have had success with what I'm doing or want to do. So you can do this. I mean, I think I feel very fortunate to have a podcast, because sometimes I'll just reach out to guests and have them come on the podcast just to learn from them, so that I'm learning from them and then you guys are learning. And then I also get to form just a more authentic relationship with them, and they become friends, and I can reach out to them if something, you know, if I need help with something related to an area that they have knowledge or experience or expertise in. An example of this is my friend Kevin Shen, who's a YouTuber and he's in the video space, and he's doing his own live cohort right now for his studio course. So Kevin has a ton of experience with video, and he's honestly one of the nicest people I've ever met. And he has an online course to how to create a professional looking studio, whether it's like for a YouTube studio or you want to do things like telehealth and just take your quality to the next level, the quality of your telehealth sessions to the next level by using things like professional mics and DSLRs and those kind of things. So Kevin and I, we've been gathering together each week to mastermind. We split these calls into, so we'll be basically meet for like 50 minutes or so. We'll split these calls into two 25-minute chunks and then use each of those chunks. So for example, if I'm on the sort of hot seat for the first 25 minutes, I'll usually come up with a question that I'm thinking about related to online course school. And then we just spend that the rest of that time just exploring and sharing each other's experience, picking each other's brain, accounting for things maybe we're not thinking about, all of those things. I'm also in a second group mastermind with other online course creators who do something that's very familiar. And I mean, who are doing something very similar when it comes to, you know, creating an online course as well. And these are folks that I rely on for emotional and strategic support. Now, related to this, but one of the hardest lessons I've learned with layering support like this is that not every topic should be shared with everyone. So I shared the example with Susan, right? Like just in that example, for example, she may not know, you know, how to do a webinar, right? And that's okay, because that's not an area of expertise, right? But then there's, the other thing I've sort of learned is not everyone's opinions matter equally. So for example, with online course school, I'm much more likely to value someone who's had success with an online course as I sort of think through things, right? And basically when I'm getting feedback, especially in these initial stages, than maybe someone that has never launched an online course and doesn't know sort of the nuances of it. So what type of support you need will look different for everyone. I would love to hear how you are thinking through this. So in summary, three main points: show the imperfect side of building, two, realize that the first version will not be the final version, and three, create an emotional and brainstorming safety net through layering. So I would love to hear and learn from you when this episode goes live. Yeah, I just wanted to encourage you to join the Selling the Couch community if you haven't. It's over at sellingthecouch.com/community. And there's going to be a thread for when this episode goes live. So it'll have like a graphic of the episode and all of that kind of stuff. And if you could just post in the comments, just take a few minutes and just share with us what things you're doing and you have done when you've launched something new. Do you have like a certain routine? Do you like block out time? Do you have like a certain meal that you eat? Like I'm just like really curious about it, because, you know, I know a lot of things, but there's actually so many things I don't know and I'd love to learn. So, and the other thing is, if you are interested in being part of online course school, I just wanted to invite you to download the free A to Z online course guide I put together. That's over at sellingthecouch.com/online course guide. And that basically has a ton of lessons that I've learned over the past 6 years as we have grown the Healthcasters podcasting course. And after you download it, you'll get an email with a link and then this super brief questionnaire to fill out so that I can just get feedback as we build out online course school. And just thinking ahead with regard to online course school, my plan is to launch to a very small group in this fall, and then just 1 to 2 small groups next year. And I'll definitely keep you guys in the loop, but downloading the online course guide is the best way. That way it comes directly into your email inbox, and that way you don't miss it like on social media or something like that. And of course, I would love to have you a part of it if it makes sense. Online course school is a little bit different in that it's specifically geared toward therapists in private practice and therapists turned coaches and consultants. And so I just wanted to gather folks like us who are like-minded, who are excited about launching an online course, but just not quite sure where to get started. Show notes to today's session can be found over at sellingthecouch.com/session and the number 280. Have a great rest of your day. As we wrap up again, just wanted to take a moment to thank the team over at Headway for supporting this month's podcast session. So one of the most common questions that the team over at Headway gets with regard to clients is, okay, I have an existing group of clients. How exactly do I integrate them into Headway? So basically, in a few seconds, you can add your existing clients to Headway's provider portal. They will verify the insurance details and collect payment information. So they also will then take care of billing the insurance company, and then they can also charge the client's card on file and send them an email invoice as well. And clients can pay with either a debit card, a credit card, or an HSA or an FSA. So in short, if the admin part of managing all of this feels really overwhelming, as I know it does for many private practitioners, I'm a big believer in working on your business versus always in your business. And if you want to just get some help with that while just having a more streamlined way to see your clients, I encourage you to check out Headway. You can learn more about their services and a donation that they are making to the Loveland Foundation over at sellingthecouch.com/Headway.
Thanks for listening to the Selling the Couch podcast. For more great content and to stay up to date, visit www.sellingthecouch.com.